hit music.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be
good evening to everyone. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Eben. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. It's always a privilege to come your way. All right. I'm still laughing, you know, what the Assemblies of God pastors were saying, you know. I mean, maybe I need a shabu in some. And this evening's news, I have a few things I'll be talking about, AI as well as other things, and it's quite interesting. You know, in the last few weeks I talked about deception and all that, but Christians, there's a crisis. I mean, let me put it that way, because I saw, it's so funny and serious at the same time. A certain prophet calling himself Ebo Noah. This one, I mean, it's one online, so I'll mention the name Ebo Noah, who is building an ark, saying God is going to destroy the world 25th December 2025. He has to take two animals. You know, I just can't stop laughing when I see the video, the news, and all that. And, but my worry is as to how gullible some Christians are. I mean, let me just start by reading the Word of God. I mean, Genesis 9:12, verse 12. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations, including this generation in 2025 that we are alive. I do set a bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. So when we see the rainbow, it's a reminder of God's covenant with humanity. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. This is the word of God. So how can we have this covenant by God with humanity, perpetual generations? And then somebody says, God said. So in other words, he's saying that God is going against his covenant for him to build a Noah's ark. He's also calling himself Ebo Noah, so Noah's ark. you know that there's a worrying issue, because today I was just this pastor in East Africa or South Africa who says rapture is going to happen September 22nd or 23rd, whatever thing he's saying. And I was just looking at the comments of the video, the podcast that he's being featured on, and he was still emphasizing it and all. And looking at the comments, I dare say that about 80% of the comments were, hey, what if it's true? Oh, okay, then let's be ready. And it's worrying, because when someone says, go, God told me, I saw a dream, God said this, and it's contrary to the word of God, people are ready to ignore the word of God and run after what somebody says he dreamt and so, even when it's contrary to God's word. Clearly written God's word, people are ready to believe it and just ready to accept anything without questioning it, even though it's clear and obvious that this is against the word of God. What type of Christians have we become? Who has bewitched Christians these days, that the word of God is like an alien material, and we are ready to, I mean, itching ears, anything that is pleasing to the ear, anything that sounds good, anything that we think is spiritual must be true. No, it's not everything that seems spiritual that is true, because the devil even twisted the word of God when he was tempting Christ. So what the devil said, quoting from Deuteronomy and all those places, it was twisted word, so it was not true. But it sounds spiritual. You see, I a few years ago, I remember when I was active on Facebook, pre-COVID era, a young man, I don't know whether American or whatever, but a young man, a Christian, he I've forgotten the verse, but he quoted a verse and then he ascribed a wrong verse to it, like a wrong quotation, actual like quotation to it, and like he paraphrased it a bit to make it sound good, and he posted it, and people, I mean, thousands upon thousands, amen, amen, like a promise type of, you know those type of good verses, type of thing. And so even though it was not the truth, it was not a true verse, but he just paraphrased and added, even quoted a different, actually that statement was a word, something that Satan has quoted, something that Satan said, but he just made it look like it wasn't Satan who said it, but people were, amen, 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 I receive it, I claim it, I whatever they type, I tap into it, all those funny phrases that. And so he was doing a social experiment, and it was so serious that, so it means Christians are so shallow, even when the devil, something that, I mean, the Bible has not said, and something that even it was Satan who made that statement, but he's just twisted it a bit to make it seem like a word of God, and people were saying amen, believing and accepting it and claiming it when it doesn't exist. So we have a crisis, and I believe Christians should be a bit more serious with the word of God, because the way it's going is very uncomfortable and worrying, because when you see the way people are falling for all these deceptive things, and the word of God is not being used as the standard to, I mean, defend or attack or whatever someone has said. The word of God says ABC, and someone is saying something that is contrary to ABC. You have to defend it or attack it with the word of God. No, that's not being done. All right, so welcome back again to Issues of Life. We are on it. Let me get into some of the news for the week, and yes, we move from there. This week has been quite eventful. A lot of things happening in the news. All right, so Polish Prime Minister warns that Europe is closer to war than any time since World War II after airspace violations. So the Poland's prime minister has warned that the prospect of military conflict in Europe is closer than at any time since the Second World War, after the country's airspace was allegedly violated by Russia. The NATO member has invoked Article 4 of NATO to request a formal consultation with other members of the military alliance after Donald Tusk told the Polish parliament its airspace was encroached on 19 times by Russian drones overnight during an attack on Ukraine. It's not clear exactly how many drones were involved in the alleged incursion, with Tusk saying a huge number were involved. Poland's Interior Ministry has said that the authorities have so far identified 7 drones and the remains of the missile of unidentified origin. When I read this unidentified origin, one thing that came to mind was, what if it's Ukraine that is behind this as a way of provoking the war? Because Zelensky has been pushing NATO to get into the war for a long time, and it's like they are resisting it. So what if it's Ukraine that is intentionally doing this as a way of provoking NATO to get involved to attack Russia? That's also a possibility. You know, the way this war is going, something else. All right, Netanyahu vows there will be no Palestinian state ahead of UN General Assembly. So Israeli Prime Minister vowed that the Palestinian state will not be established as countries including France and Canada move to recognize a Palestinian state at the United Nations later this month. When Netanyahu attended a ceremony in the West Bank on Thursday celebrating his right-wing government's expansion of the settlement of Mali Adumim. This then is about to realize the doubling of the city of Mali Adumim, Benjamin said in Hebrew at the ceremony. There will be 70,000 people here in 5 years. It will be a tremendous change. We said there will be no Palestinian state, and indeed there will be no Palestinian state. This place is ours. We will take care of our heritage and our land and our security, Netanyahu said. In July, leaders of France, Canada and UK announced they would recognize the Palestinian state at the next UN General Assembly in September. At the time, the Israeli Foreign Ministry condemned the decision. Responding to Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney's announcement, the ministry said the change in the position of Canadian government at this time is a reward for Hamas and harms the efforts to achieve a ceasefire in Gaza. But interestingly, Israel attacked Hamas leaders in Qatar this week. So Israel carries out military strikes against Hamas leadership as explosions reported in Doha, Qatar. And Israel's military targeted the senior Hamas leadership in Qatar with an airstrike on Tuesday. The actual number of people who died is still not known, but some were killed. But this has triggered a lot of issues. Trump warns Netanyahu not to bomb Qatar again. Another headline says Qatar calls for retaliation against Israel for strike in Doha. Qatari Prime Minister Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdulrahman Al Thani vowed Tuesday to retaliate against Israel for its strike against Hamas's political leadership based in Doha. The state of Qatar is committed to act in a decisive way with anything that will target its territories, and will reserve the right to retaliate and will take all the needed measures to retaliate, Al Thani said in a news conference on Tuesday through a translator. Unfortunately, Ghana issued a statement to condemn Israel on this issue. It's very unfortunate, but I wish someone would advise the government to really keep quiet when it comes to issues of Israel, because history is there to prove that countries that go attacking Israel verbally, even verbally, things don't go well sometimes. I mean, there's a lot of precedence to show. So I just wish the government will really learn to keep quiet when it comes to Israel matters, because it's not as simple as it looks on the surface, because you may think yes, yes, so you have a right to say, you have a right to vote as UN, you have a right, and you have a right. But when it comes to matters of these things, that's why the countries who understand the issues at stake well, at best they just abstain and keep quiet. After all, what's the big deal? They keep quiet. I mean, we meddling in this issue and saying it, what does it make us what, champions or what? And I was not surprised that Israeli ambassador in Ghana, I mean, was disappointed to make a statement to the effect. But you know, we have to be careful as a country. We really have to be careful when it comes to Israel. We better take care before we step on toes that should not be stepped on. All right. Syrian Christians facing accelerated cultural erasure, and advocates are warning that Christian numbers are diminishing in Syria. It's very serious. Radical jihadists and other extremist groups are carrying out mass killings and other human rights violations against Syria's religious minorities, prompting calls from religious freedom advocates for the United States to intervene. You know, this Middle East place, you know, a place like Iraq, after ISIS operations in the last few years, I mean, they did all those, and there were places where Christianity reduced drastically. I mean, they virtually, there are towns and place communities where at the end of ISIS operations, there were no Christians in places again, and I mean some communities again, and all that. They had to flee those who were killed and all that. So some of these things really go a long way to affect the Christian population in terms of the numbers. Then we have a strange thing happening in the US. I mean, not too strange, you know, US and the gun, the shooting things, yeah, it's almost a normal thing. But this one was a Christian influencer, conservative, social activist, Christian. I mean, he proclaims Christ openly, defends the cross, defends Christ, I mean, openly. I mean, it's quite interesting hearing him. Charlie Kirk, he was assassinated whilst he was, I mean, defending, saying these same things at the university, Utah University. So this headline says, pastors, evangelical leaders react to the killing of Charlie Kirk, a Christian martyr, as the summer calling him. And the worrying thing after this assassination is human beings, there's something happening. People were happy, laughing, celebrating on social media, TikTok. People, have lost their jobs. Companies, you know, are sacking people. Teachers have been sacked. Firefighters, people are just losing their jobs for celebrating the killing of this guy, Charlie Kirk, a president's friend, and all that. And the fact that human beings can go this low, you see, it's not there alone. We saw some in Ghana when the helicopter crashed. Some people were happy about it. You know, and it's something that is quite worrying. I mean, what is happening to human beings that you rejoice and celebrate over the death of someone? And the fact that you are in party A and someone is in party B, I mean, are we not human beings? What makes us enemies in the first place? What makes people react this way? It's quite unfortunate because now in Ghana you have this people insulting, it's the social media, anyone just, you know, cameras are now available, every phone has a camera, so they just create their account, TikTok or whatever, then they turn on the camera insulting. It's serious. Insulting the president, insulting this, insulting that. And it's like as if we are no longer, we are losing what makes us humans. It's so unfortunate that you celebrate someone has been killed, a father has been killed, and people are happy. If the Gen Zs are even doing it, but you had even older people, it's like, hey, No. I mean, the way demons are controlling people now is becoming worried, because no rational, correct person can celebrate the death of someone. I mean, how? But that's what we are seeing. This is how the world has become, that people are, we've lost it. So now you can celebrate somebody is dead, you are celebrating, because what is the person's crime? And he was saying things that you didn't like, so you are happy he's been killed. Wow. And the killer has been arrested, 22-year-old boy, and the father actually turned him in, you know, reported him that he has identified the son in the FBI pictures that they, and the family is saying that before he did the shooting, whilst at, like, I don't know, the previous day or whatever, like, whilst at dinner or at, I mean, eating family together, he commented that Charlie Kirk is coming to University of Utah, but, you know, he hates him and all, blah, blah, blah. And so his hatred for what the man stands for necessitated the killing. I mean, so if you can't accommodate what someone is saying, should it trigger you to the point of killing someone? Should it? And the same on the other side, for those who are celebrating, because you hate the fact that he talks about the Christ, about the cross, defends the Christian faith, and resists the transgender agenda and all these things, so he doesn't deserve to live, then there's something wrong. And the way this whole thing is going, social media is playing a role. And I was surprised. I wasn't surprised when the governor of Utah commented on it. It's quite comment. He commented on it. I'll get to that news item soon. Okay, so yeah, this one says Fulani radicals kill 8 Christians and wound 9 others in early morning attack. Hundreds displaced in Nigeria. So far, 11 villages have been attacked, 30 houses burned since late August. And we are just 13 days into September. So just 2 weeks, 11 villages have been attacked, 30 houses have been burned. And the Nigerian government just does not care, because the people being killed, they are not Christians. They are Christians. So the government doesn't care. I mean, their issue is very, very, very worrying. Then India too, persecution, Christians being persecuted. A pastor and his wife, the couple, they've been arrested simply for on false charges of converting someone to Christ. And, you know, actually in India, there are some provinces in India where now preach to someone to become a Christian is a crime. So they've passed laws where by because of these laws, you can't evangelize. Because if you evangelize to someone and it's like, oh, okay, so leave your Hindu faith and come to Christ, accept Christ and all that, I mean, you can be reported and you can be jailed, heftily fined and all that, because it's a crime too. So let everybody be in their religion. I mean, and the law was passed because of Christians. So to stop Christians from, evangelizing to Hindus, I mean, the devil is really, really working. It's serious. Okay, we come to Ghana. The WASI exams is going on. They are almost finishing. Some people were arrested. They've been jailed for the exam or practices. And this headline, this news, house mistress assaulted for preventing student from cheating. How on earth? The police have intervened to maintain order at Wesley Senior High School in Konongo, Ashanti region, after some students allegedly went on a rampage and pelted stones at the residence of senior house mistress. This was after the house mistress confronted one of the candidates sitting for this year's West African Senior Certificate examinations for allegedly cheating during the exams. In an interview, the headmistress, Reverend Agnes Gazi, explained that after the Christian religious studies paper on Friday, September 5th, a male student verbally assaulted the headmistress for preventing him from cheating.
Hey!
Oh, what a generation. Hey! The student was invited to apologize and was subsequently taken through counseling. However, on the 9th of Sunday, September 7th, the stone pelting incident occurred. She highlighted that investigations are ongoing to identify the students involved. The headmistress, however, assured the situation is under control, adding that the police have intervened and examinations are proceeding smoothly. Wow. You know, it's just like somebody who a pickpocket who is arrested and is rather angry that he's been arrested. I mean, shamelessly defending the wrong. Shamelessly defending the wrong. And no, it's very unfortunate too. And the generation we are in, we find ourselves in, is something else. The moral standards are so low. Their conscience is seared. It's like, what is wrong? They don't see it as wrong. And you dare correct them that it is wrong and they get offended. Like just this one. See, they think they are smart. They think they are cheating someone, but they are not cheating. They think, you see, they in the mix of this whole exam or practice and all that, they forget that they are cheating themselves. So years down the line, the reality will set in and the price will be paid, duly paid. They will look back and they will now regret that. Oh, so after all these years, this has happened. You know, when you are stealing or you are cheating and you think, oh, no one is seeing you, no one, see, eventually it comes back. You know, this year, I read one of the news a few months ago where Legon, 97 or so students in Legon for exam or practices. You see, if you are to really interview these 97, almost 100 then. If you are to talk to these people one-on-one, I dare say, majority, if not all, started copying or had the opportunity to copy through BEC to be able to get to senior high, and also were able to be helped, managed, copied, whatever, to pass the WASI to get to university. And they got to university and now they had to pay the price. So it's very possible, highly probable, they didn't start at the university. No, they started doing it at BEC, GHS. Did it through, they were assisted through corrupt teachers, corrupt vigilators. Oh, they managed through BC. Did the same, WASI, managed, they got to university, and the system, the terrain is different. So now they couldn't go through. Now the reality sets in. Some were sacked. And you see, these things, it goes on your records. It goes on your records. Your name is on the internet. I mean, you see, It's very unfortunate how people think that, oh, as for the cheating, yes, everybody is doing it, so let me also do so. But one day, the price will be paid. Recently, I was talking to one man, he works in one government agency, and he was complaining that the national service persons who come to his office, it's like virtually they are useless. They say they are useless. They know nothing. They are useless. They know nothing. When you even teach them to, it's like nothing. They are just existing as so-called graduates from universities. But they are of no use. And you talk to employers, people who engage in fresh graduates in various ways. And the chorus is the same. Very few are okay. The vast majority of them are useless. They have not fit for purpose to be employed. They are not ready to be engaged in any serious work. You see, so as one of the factors that we are having with this unemployment challenges and all that, because you see, there are some who, even when they are employed, they would even sack themselves because they are not fit to work. They can't work. They are not ready to work. Psychologically, they are not even ready to work. They are not ready to do any hard thing. They want an easy life. We get them to work. It's all about they want to stare their phone, scroll. I mean, but that is not life. You see, so their whole life is about easy things, easy life, having things easy and all that. You see, when we warn that the addiction to these devices has a long-term consequence, some think, you people are making things too difficult for their children and all that. But you see, there's a price you pay. Addiction has a long way of influencing you negatively. So when a child is exposed to tablets and phones at that early age and is used to it, the brain is wired towards that, used to tablet phone at that tender age. It grows with it. They become addicted to it. It becomes difficult to dissociate their lives from it, these devices. Now these things manipulate them because that is how they think life should be. There are some people who cannot put their phones down for 1 hour. 1 hour, 60 minutes. 60 minutes. They cannot put their phone down. 60 minutes. It's not possible. No. They will feel so uncomfortable, as if something is missing. They will fidget. They have to take their phone. They have to look at their phone. They have to scroll. They have to check. They have to... Now, this is the addiction. The dopamine effect is full-blown. I mean, that satisfaction... You see, and for those who listen to the e-parenting series we did some time back, we talked of how the addiction to drugs, cocaine, heroin, all those stuff, that feeling of satisfaction and that feeling good, it comes from the brain, the chemical secretion in the brain, dopamine. That same chemical is activated in feeling good in the usage of social media and, you know, this screen, scrolling, that feeling, the same thing. So in effect, the addiction of these social media usage, phone usage and all that, is akin to the addiction of drugs. So you see, that's why when you say parents should help their children not to even get the habit started, some don't understand. They think, I can afford to buy it, what's the big deal, let me buy it. Everybody's, all his friends or her friends are having it. So you see, it's about regulation and control and helping the child to use it in shorter periods. But where you just leave the child unlimited usage, no control, then now they grow and now it's an issue for them. They are addicted. They just can't help themselves. Okay, this next news item is worrying. It's a statistic, survey by the Banner Group that I've been reading sometimes, and I keep saying that these surveys, if someone is to do same in Ghana, the variation will not be that much. Oh yes, the variation will not be that much. Just 3% of church sermons teach about sin. Hey, 3%. No. A significant number of Christians reject basic teachings about sin, according to a new survey, which one prominent evangelical researcher views as a body blow stemming from American churches' failure to address the topic. The Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University released the 8th installment of its 2025 American Worldview Inventory on Thursday, which features data based on responses collected from 2,000 United States adults in May 2025. An overwhelming majority of the respondents, 84%, agree that sin exists and is real. majorities of the of all the major religious subgroups examined subscribe to this belief, with an acknowledgement of sin's existence. Highest amongst theologically identified born-again Christians, 99%, followed by those who attend the Protestant Church, 97%, self-identified Christians, 95%, and respondents who attend the Catholic Church, 94%. Even most self-identified non-Christians, 61%, acknowledge the existence of sin. However, respondents were significantly less likely to agree with a statement declaring, "I am a sinner." A large majority of the theologically identified born-again Christians, 74%, conceded that they were sinners, along with smaller majorities of Protestants, 66%, and self-identified Christians, 60%. About half of Catholics, 50%, said they were sinners, whilst less than half of the self-identified non-Christians, 36%, did. When asked if they agree that everyone has sinned, 85% theologically identified born-again Christians answered in the affirmative, along with 73% of Protestants, 66% of self-identified Christians, 57% of Catholics. Then less than a quarter of self-identified non-Christians, 23%, maintained that everyone has sinned. George Banner, a veteran pollster who founded the Banner Group and is now the director of research at the Cultural Research Center, attributed the lack of unanimous belief in Christian views about sin to the lack of discussion about the topic at American churches. Quote, "The job of the local church is to educate people about God's ways," he said. Yet, in 2019 Pew Research study that analyzed sermon content across the nation determined that just 3% of all sermons preached even mentioned sin. That's a devastating body blow to the church world. Students will remain ignorant when their teachers fall or fail to inform them of critical information and consequences, he added. For an overwhelming majority of Christian churches to suppress the reality of sin, its consequences, and its solutions from the people whose churches serve is a travesty. Banner described taking refuge in the idea that other people have a sin problem, but they personally do not, or that sin is an outdated concept, as harmful strategies. The purpose of the church, he reminded us, is to teach God's ways, not to entertain, not to placate, not to tickle ears. But when only a sliver of sermons even address the reality of sin, people are left ignorant of their deepest need. The Bible doesn't whisper about sin. It shouts. From Genesis to Revelation, the narrative of redemption is meaningless without it. Adam and Eve's rebellion, Israel's idolatry, the prophet's constant warnings, Christ's death on the cross, all center around one undeniable truth. Humanity is lost in sin and is in desperate need of a savior. Remove sin from the equation and you no longer have Christianity. You have a hollow shell that looks religious but denies its power. All right, the next news says Utah governor calls social media a cancer on our society right now. I agree with him. Utah Governor Spencer Cox, a Republican, on Friday urged people to turn away from social media, calling it a cancer on our society, after announcing that the suspected gunman in the killing of Charlie Kirk is in custody. At the end of his press conference announcing 22-year-old Tyler Robinson as the suspected gunman in the shooting at Utah Valley University, Cox urged people to log off social media, citing the violent imagery that proliferates through the medium. We are not wired as humans, historically, we have not evolved in a way that we are capable of processing those types of violent imagery. And by the way, we've seen another one with a gruesome stabbing very recently that went viral. This is not good for us. It's not good to consume, said Cox, referring to the fatal stabbing of Ukrainian refugee Arena Zaruska in North Carolina earlier this month. Social media is a cancer on our society right now, he added. I would encourage people to log off, turn off, touch grass, hug a family member, go out and do good in your community. During the conference, Cox referenced similar remarks about social media that Kirk had made on the platform X in June. All right, then we have this news network, this reports, Meta, that's the mother company for Facebook, and OpenAI, also the mother company for ChatGPT, to adjust chatbots to better handle sensitive topics with teens. Meta and OpenAI are working to improve chatbots' handling of topics that teenagers engage the technology about, including sensitive issues like suicide. OpenAI announced Tuesday that it's adjusting its ChatGPT to serve people better when they interact in a time of crisis, making it easier to reach emergency services and get help from experts. The changes will also improve protections for teens, the company said. Our reasoning models like GPT-5 thinking and O3 are built to spend more time thinking for longer and reasoning through context before answering, the company explained. We'll soon begin to route some sensitive conversations, like when our system detects signs of acute distress, to a reasoning model like GPT-5 thinking, so it can provide more helpful and beneficial responses, regardless of which model a person first selected. When it comes to teenage users, OpenAI says it's building more ways for families to use GPT together and decide what works best in our home. This includes allowing parents to link their accounts with their children's account via an email invitation and control ChatGPT responses with default sets age-appropriate model behavior rules. The company says the changes also gives parents more control over assorted features like memory and chat history. Parents will also get notifications when the system detects their teen is in a moment of acute distress. Meta, which includes social media platforms like Facebook and Instagram, announced last week that they are training their chatbots to quit engaging teens on issues like suicide, eating disorders, and inappropriate sensual topics. Meta spokesperson Stephanie Otwe told TechCrunch last Friday that we are continually learning about how young people may interact with these tools and strengthening our protections accordingly. As we continue to refine our systems, we are adding more guardrails as an extra precaution, including training our AIs not to engage with teens on these topics, but to guide them to expert resources, and limiting teen access to select group of AI characters for now, said Otwe. These updates are already in progress, and we will continue to adapt our approach to help ensure teens have safe, age-appropriate experiences with AI. The efforts of these companies have come amid the multiple reports of teenagers engaging in violent behavior or self-harm due to feedback they were receiving from chatbots. Last month, the family of 16-year-old Adam Rain of California filed a lawsuit against OpenAI, alleging that ChatGPT had helped their son die by suicide. In a statement given to the Christian Post, an OpenAI spokesperson expressed condolences to the teen's family, saying that the company is deeply saddened by Mr. Rain's passing. ChatGPT includes safeguards such as directing people to crisis helplines and referring them to real-world resources. While these safeguards work best in common short exchanges, we've learned over time that they can sometimes become less reliable in long interactions where part of the model's safety training may degrade, the OpenAI spokesperson said. Yeah, and then the last news item. Sam Altman, that's the founder of OpenAI. Sam Altman says people are beginning to talk like AI, making some human interactions feel very fake. Major AI leaders like OpenAI CEO Sam Altman are starting to acknowledge that quirks and pitfalls of their own creations. Altman said, AI discussions often feel like fake as people are beginning to adopt bot-like language. Researchers have found evidence of ChatGPT influencing people's vocabulary and how they write and speak. Even CEOs of major AI companies are starting to admit the pitfalls and quirks of the technology. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman on Monday said that he's had the strangest experience reading a Reddit thread about Codex, his company's new agent tool for developers. I assume it's all fake bots. Even though in this case, I know Codex growth is really strong and trend here is real, Altman wrote in a post on X. The Reddit thread Altman references is overly positive about OpenAI's Codex and even dishes on Anthropic's Claude code. I think there are a bunch of things going on, Altman continued. Real people have picked up quirks of LLM speak, and extremely online crowd drifts towards together in very correlated ways. The hype circle he wrote in short form. We are so back. Extremism, optimization, pressure from social platforms on juicing engagement, and the related way that creator monetization works. Other companies have astroturfed us, so I'm extra sensitive to it, and a bunch more, including probably some bots. OpenAI didn't immediately respond to Fortune's request for comment. Altman isn't the first person to unpack the fact that people are speaking or are starting to talk more like AI bots in real life. Hiromu Yakura, a postdoctoral researcher at the Max Planck Institute for Human Development in Berlin, Germany, noticed differences in his own vocabulary about a year after ChatGPT debuted in late 2022. Interesting. And you know, this is the reason why, you know, Spirit FM is about to do a workshop, a first of its kind in Ashanti region, to assist church leaders, pastors, church administrators, elders, deacons, youth pastors who need to understand the technologies we are talking about, so that they can be in a position to help. They can know the usage themselves, so that they can also be in a position to counsel. There are issues coming up, as I read in the news. You know, the youth are beginning to experience things and all that. Some of the things you think is in the US alone, but so far as the Ghanaian youth is also using it here, eventually those issues will arise as well. So counseling, how to understand the issues before, so that you can help be in a better position to counsel, church members or the youth and all that, regarding usage of AI challenges, the fear of AI taking their jobs. All these things are going to be discussed in this workshop. It's going to be a power-packed two-day workshop, 2nd and 3rd October, and in the course of the week, next week, details will be coming out, the payments and all the details. And this is something which churches should really fund and pay for their pastors to go to such a workshop, because the knowledge that they would acquire is not only for their personal use, but it's also for the usage of the church. The church ultimately benefits from a pastor being equipped in knowledge, because if they are equipped and knowing how to do something, it's the church that benefits ultimately. So it's something which really is churches that should bear the cost of these workshops and pay for their pastors to go, pay for the associate pastors, pay for church administrators, pay for youth pastors, because it is very important that knowledge is acquired in this area. I was talking on the Youth Connect with on Parkwise's program around 6 p.m. on this network, and you see, the issue is Christians over the years, we demonize technology when it comes. We make it look like it's not good at all. No. Some are calling it Antichrist and all that. See, you call it Antichrist based on the knowledge that you have about how the thing works. when you understand how the thing works and you hear somebody is calling it Antichrist, I mean, it's funny, you laugh because you know what is behind it, the technology that is powering the thing. See, so lack of knowledge can easily make you make outrageous statements which exposes your ignorance. See, that's why knowledge is important, and it's time people acquire knowledge. In the age of information, it's very wrong and unfortunate to be ignorant. I mean, sometimes sometimes it's easier to say that, oh, you learn it on your own. But there are some things you can learn on your own, but get to a point where you need people who are in that field, who have been trained in that field, to be able to guide you to know the important things to talk about and how to go about it and all that. So the pastors, leaders, deacons and all listening to this program at this time now, be on notice. It's something that is very important to know about. It's very important to add it to your schedule, and to talk about it. Churches have to plan for it and really get their leaders to be in this workshop. 2nd and 3rd October is going to be at Royal Ameta Hotel, Ahonjo. And it's important because AI has come to stay. But the good and the bad of it, it depends on the usage and depends on the knowledge one has. So being able to use it to do a whole lot of things, it can enhance how you use it to do your research, how to do your Bible study, because the search system is far more enhanced, unlike the Google. All these and other tools, various experts will be part of the workshop. We are going to have some pastors as well who are also into the field, and they are also going to be some of the facilitators, some of the tools pastors can use to help their research, help them in the administration and all that. So it's going to be a full pack, hands-on, real workshop, not just talk only, but a practical workshop where by the time a participant is leaving, they will be fully equipped, knowing the basics, what is AI and the functions and the usage and the consequences, the ethics, the governance, and the impacts on society. The impact on society is going to be real. We can't run away from it. And the society, your members are part of the society. So this is why one has to be in that position, to the point of where if a member needs guidance and some counseling to make a decision, what course I should do, what they want to make a choice, what profession they should get into and all that, a pastor who has been given this knowledge can be in a position to, if not full guidance, at least the basic guidance, to the point where, then you can refer the person to an expert in that field. But this is the essence of this whole thing, to get pastors to be abreast with the times we are in. And I keep saying that Christians have always been led to the party of technology. And when the world is fully using it before the church is running to catch up, no. This time around, the church should be at par. We should really not be left behind in the usage of these technologies, because ultimately there's a good part of it. So if there's a good part of it, why don't we go in for the good as well? So that we just don't relegate everything to the world people, and they use it to do all the bad things, and then we sit down and complain and we talk about it. No. It's time Christians become knowledgeable in the times we are in. Seek knowledge. And that's the sense of this. So we are going to talk about it. You are going to hear more programs on Spirit FM talk about it. And it's important because as a Christian station, we see it as a duty to lead this conversation, to change the narrative and all that. And so that's it. So, so far, that's how far, we've come. And, I have a few messages. We have 3%. Are we going to heaven? Where Apostle Paul? God have mercy. This is some pretty true. It's serious. If you scan the system, scan online, sermons being preached online and all that, YouTube and all, it's sin is really not being addressed again. Largely, it's a missing concept. It's seriously missing. You rarely hear about sin these days in churches. And if I'm to open the phone lines now, that people should, when was the last time they heard about sin being preached in church? I may not get anyone calling to say so, because it's really an issue. It's really an issue, and it's worrying. And I believe it's time pastors really balance the diet they are feeding their members. A balanced diet is important. You know, the carbonara dosson, the kabu, I mean, but you know, we have the whole Bible to preach from. So it's like, I mean, I don't know, I can't understand, but it's serious. It's something which, you see, if, let's say, the system was right, like people were also living right, that's a different case. But it's also, look at Ghana, our population. Census will give the percentages of Christians, blah, blah, blah. But look at the level of corruption in our system now. From the police to look at the WASI, the WAEC exams, teachers, I mean, Joy FM or Joy Multimedia released a video of the documentary they did, Secret Recordings, during the BEC, teachers receiving money to let children teach, I mean, themselves in the exams, compromise 60 CDs. And it's, and if you are to go back and ask all these people, I dare say majority will say they are Christians. You have some who may even be elders or deacons in their churches. You have some who are medical leaders, go to the hospitals, nurses, majority Christians. You see nurses, they will be start with church service at the polyclinics, and then these same people will finish, and then they are insulting members, I mean, the patients. And it's like we are not living the Christ-like life. The whole system is so... It's like, yes, oh, everybody says they are Christians, but yet you don't see Christians in the system, because from the police on the street taking money, they are Christians. You go to the ministries, you go pay, taking money before they do things, wherever you go, all this bribe, corruption and all that, majority are Christians, and yet tomorrow they'll be in church. So it's like, I mean, the system is just broken. The church, you know, I mean, my brother, the one I come after, he says it all the time. So the problem of Ghana is the church. It's the church that has caused Ghana to be where we are. Because if pastors were preaching right, and I agree with him, if pastors were preaching right, all the corrupt politicians, at least something would have happened in their lives. But where is the truth? You know, I mean, the truth is not being preached, sin is not being talked about, nothing. So everybody feels free and they do what they have to do. And that's the effect of the society we find ourselves in. So I believe, God help us, we really have a lot of work to do. Yeah, Auntie Theo, it's true. The problem of Ghana is the church. We can't run away from it. The church is to be blamed. Fully, the church is to be blamed for our issues in Ghana. We have failed the nation. We have failed the society. The youth menace that we are complaining about, it's the church that has failed these youth. The church, what impact is the church making in the communities to the effect that the youth will be affected? How many youth outreaches are churches planning? Nothing. Very few churches have something to engage the youth evangelism, youth outreach, youth programs to engage them. They are taught to live right. I mean, it's like, we just don't care. It's all about the income, the in, the money coming in is all that we care about. But spending a little to go out, as for outrage, then one pastor said that outrage, this can see. Fuck, we see. It's serious. Outrage, this can. So that one, you know, sometimes you hear some things and it's like, what is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? Anyway, it's been recorded to be uploaded to spiritissues.info and then to the Telegram group. This is Eben, program Issues of Life. And thank you for tuning in. And God bless you. God willing, next week I'll be coming your way again. Good night and God bless you.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive.